Good morning again. It is my intention this morning to speak to you from my heart, something that I have always tried to do. Now, I have learned through the years that not everyone will appreciate the words that I share or the message that I feel God has given me. The human reaction to opposition is to confront and go against that which opposes you. I am not above being human, and God only knows how much I fall short of His will for my life. But I am seeking today to rise above the emotional responses of the flesh and be a spiritual leader as I am called to be. The easiest thing to do in life is to be a negative person. It is easy to walk through this life and be negative about everything, and especially to be negative when someone comes up against you and says they believe that you're wrong. None of us want to hear that we're wrong. None of us want to hear that people don't agree with what we say and what we do. And it is so very easy just to be negative, just to put them off, just to think, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. I do, and I'm going to move on in a negative way. I used to be a very negative person. My wife will attest to that. I trust that she will tell you the truth about that. I used to be a very negative person. I opposed everybody. Nobody told me I was wrong, because if they did, they were going to have to deal with what I thought. Even after I first became a Christian, I was kind of that way. I knew what was right. Don't anybody tell me any different. God has done a mighty work in me through the years. I cannot even believe I was that person at one time. I cannot even believe that that's how I was. But God has changed me. God does that. He will change you into the person that you need to be. And I praise God every day that He has taken me out of that negative frame of mind. The message that I have brought to both of my congregations through the years is a simple one. Now, to some it may seem old and repetitive. You might sit back and think that's an easy message to preach, and that it really doesn't take a lot of effort to preach it. To which I would respond to you, come on up and give it a try. I'll give you all the direction you would want. I'll help you. I'll teach you. And you can come up here and stand and preach this simple message. Today's message will be filled with Scripture, as I believe it should be. I pray that as you listen, that rivers of living water will well up in your hearts and overflow into your souls. I will start by going back a couple of weeks to a wonderful scripture that I think we need to read here and hear more often. Mark 8:36. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Two brothers in Wichita, Kansas, won the lottery, netting $75,000. They celebrated by purchasing narcotics. While using a butane lighter with their drugs, the vapors reached the pilot light of their furnace, causing an explosion that destroyed their house. One of the brothers was rushed to the hospital and the other to jail. In the literal flash of a moment, the luckiest moment of their lives became a nightmare. Millions of people feel they have won life's lottery. They've accumulated homes and clothes and vehicles and sufficient financial reserves to pay their bills and ensure their futures. Some have become rich. But sooner or later, it will all disappear in the flash of a moment For without Christ there is no hope of eternal wealth or everlasting life. There are eternal consequences to our choices. And you know I've told you this many times. But we must remember, we must dwell on a little, we must constantly be reminded that our choices make a difference and there are eternal consequences to what we choose, especially when it comes to choosing Jesus Christ or rejecting Him. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." We read and listen to this text, and do we find ourselves feeling sorry for the Israelites? They have no bread, and things seem a little dry. There's no excitement in traveling through the desert. There's that same rock and that same pile of sand that we have passed 20 times. Moses, why do we keep going around the same place over and over again? I asked you many times as I preached, why do you think you go around the same mountain over and over again and never get to the top? Why do you think that you are on the same path over and over again and you never rise a little higher on your walk? Well, you see, God doesn't move us forward unless we make progress on our own. God doesn't move us further up the mountain, further along, until we get what He's telling us right there and right there. The people weren't going to get to the end of the desert until God had all of Egypt out of the people. The people weren't going to find the promised land, and neither shall we, until we get past going round and round and round in the same spot. It takes growth. It takes us wanting to move forward. How could God make us eat this same heavenly food over and over? Was their complaint. So what? It gives us life and sustains us. We want more variety. The human condition is that we are never satisfied. We are never satisfied. The grass is always greener on the other side to us. Be honest with ourselves. We do not find satisfaction many times. We're always seeking, we're always searching, there's always something better. There's always a better way. We look across to the neighbor and we say, we could have it as good as them. We could have all that they have. Satisfaction does not come. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Here's another life lesson that I know that we need, and I think that all of us should consider. Not only go look for something else, learn to appreciate what you have. Learn to appreciate what you have. I say that, and yet I know and I understand that the longer we have something, something that seemed very good in the beginning, something that we may even have thanked God for, the more likely it is that we will want something or someone else. The human condition. It happens every time. And I thought about this. And I thought to myself, I thank God every day for my marriage. I thank God every day that my wife has not grown tired of me because I've been violent with the oven from time to time. We should all be thankful for that. You have long marriages. You have long relationships. Praise God. Because I tell people that I counsel all the time, that doesn't just happen. You can't create that. You can't make that happen. Only God can make that happen. Only God can make you like someone whenever you feel like you hate them. Only God can say, stick it out whenever you feel like you want to leave. Only God can somehow make you put up with that person for a very long time. Count that blessing in those wonderful long relationships. But we tend to, in many other things in our lives, be so impatient and so ready to just move on. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. God, in his wonderful love for us, even though we have created our own problems, when we pray and seek forgiveness, he provides a cure. He provides a cure. We make our problems, we make our mistakes, we go the wrong way. But when we turn back, God provides a cure every time. And that moves us so very nicely to our next scripture. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. How can this be preached too much? I take exception to the idea that the most spectacular event that has taken place in the history of the human race can be proclaimed too often. But I was told that in the past couple weeks. That was actually said to me. You know, you preach salvation a lot, probably too much. Really. I preach salvation too much. I preach Christ born, lived, crucified, dead, buried, and resurrected by God. That is the only message that we should ever need to hear from the pulpit. It is the only message that will ever make a difference. It is the only message that contains eternal life. I can preach to you about every problem in the world, but if I don't tell you that Jesus Christ saves you and you need to come to Jesus Christ, I have failed. This is what I preach. I preach Christ crucified. I preach Christ risen. And I will preach that until the day I die. God willing. God willing. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. My sermon title today is God Offers a Cure. Let's think still night. God offers a cure. But snakes still wait. The cure for everything that ails mankind was given in the person of Jesus the Christ, the Savior. But God did not take away the struggle. And it is very real. How many of you wish that God would take away the struggle? All the time. Say, God, please. Take away the struggle. I don't need it. Not what I'm supposed to do. Please take away the struggle. But you know what? God's not going to take the struggle away. It's up to us to work our way through it. We are called to live in the truth and the light of the gospel of Jesus. Our secret dealings, all of them, will eventually be exposed to the light. You know, it makes me laugh a lot of times when I talk to people. People out of the church and also people in the church. Because they go about their lives thinking many times that whatever they say to each other, whatever they say in secret, and whatever they plan and scheme and the things that they do in their lives, that they can do that privately, they can do that one-on-one, and as long as the two of them keep the secret, it's never coming into the light. Well, let me tell you something. It all comes into the light. And you know why? Because you are never without God's presence. You are never separated from God and God knowing exactly what you're doing and exactly what you're saying. And God has this wonderful way. He has this wonderful way of bringing everything into the light. You might as well just do it in the light to start with. If you're going to criticize, then criticize in the light. If you're going to be unhappy in the light. Because when you secretly do it and you are involved in gossip, then you give God no other choice but for Him to shine the light on it. And He will. He definitely will. The gospel of Jesus. I pray that it might be the last words that leave my lips before I die. And I will be honored if I were to be worthy of having it on my tombstone. I will be honored that after I'm gone, that somebody could walk by that tombstone and they could look and see the gospel of Jesus Christ and they might come to Jesus Christ because they read the tombstone. I will be honored if the last thing I said with my dying breath was the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the person who heard it came to faith because I could still breathe. Think about it. Is there anything more important than the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is there anything more important to you than telling someone about eternal life? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray.